The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio and streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. And we have reached the point of absolute insanity. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Some of my best friends are Democrats. Some of my best friends are liberals. In fact, in a lot of ways, I'm kind of classically liberal. I think people should be free to express themselves. I don't think government should tell them how to speak. I don't think that other people should tell them how to speak. I think that freedom and sovereignty are noble pursuits. So I have no problem with Democrats. I have no problem with liberals. I have a serious problem with leftists. And this region now is being dominated by leftists politically. Leftists are dangerous. And that is not a word that I've chosen randomly. Leftists are putting our lives at risk. Leftists are among the Marxists and the socialists who dominate local government. If you were listening to this show yesterday, I talked to a retired King County Sheriff's detective. We broke a story on our show last week about the King County Sheriff's Office withdrawing from this database system called Lynx. By the way, Ursula, you'll like this. A few days ago, last week when you were gone, I went on a little rant about the Seattle Times because they had a couple reporters who would go after me on Twitter. And I think I'm pretty good about attribution. I think I'm really good. And they just made snide comments. You didn't mention that we did that story first. And I've noticed lately, as we break more and more stories on our show, that the Seattle Times is about, you know, 5-6 days behind us on a lot of these stories, and they never give us attribution. So I mentioned that last week. I have to say, congratulations to the Times. They finally got the Lynx story today, 6 days after we broke it. But they did mention Cairo Radio.
I saw that.
I know. So I guess my comments are whipping them into shape there. But anyway, it's a very serious story because I have been hearing from deputies, from detectives who have told me that withdrawing from this database, and what the database does is it gives us interconnected communications between police agencies all around the region. So if they're chasing after, and the one that one detective told me about, they were looking for a suspect. Through the Lynx system, they found out that in another jurisdiction, and I believe he said it was Pierce County, they found out that in a previous criminal encounter, this perp had pulled a gun on the cops from Pierce County. They will not get information like that now in the King County Sheriff's Office. They will go in not knowing if somebody is capable of deadly violence against a cop in another jurisdiction. And I talked to John Holland, a retired King County Sheriff's detective, yesterday. What was your reaction when you heard that they were pulling out of this system?
Well, as a former detective, I think fundamentally it's something that we should not be doing. It does affect public safety. It does affect the ability for detectives and officers on the street to do their job quickly and efficiently. It does affect the ability to gather intelligence and information, and it has a wide-ranging negative impact. And I'm hoping that the powers that be will change their mind and not make it politically motivated and get that information back to the people that truly need it on a daily basis.
Okay, so he says it makes the public less safe. It makes the sheriff's personnel less safe. And I wanted to make sure that this is not being exaggerated here. You're telling me that this unquestionably makes what is a very dangerous job, being a cop, this unquestionably makes the job more dangerous for the men and women who serve?
there's no question that the intelligence and incident reports and data that a police officer or detective can extract from that database is as invaluable. You can't put a value on it.
Okay, so why are they getting rid of something that makes the public more safe and the cops more safe? Because Dow Constantine, Mitzi Joe Hanknick, Scott Summers, the undersheriff, they have decided that illegals are more important than the lives of citizens and sheriffs, deputies, and detectives. That ICE, if they access this database, even though there's no immigration information, nothing about status that was entered into this database, it is an illusory added measure of safety for illegals, in their view. But it adds no added safety or extra safety. But they care more about illegals not being found by ICE than they care about the lives of the men and women who serve in a very dangerous job. It's already dangerous. Now they are making it more dangerous.
I can only conclude, John, that Dow Constantine and Mitzi Joe Hanknick care more about illegals and some illusory level of security withdrawing from this database gives them, that they care more about illegals than they care about the public and their own staff. If that's true, that's a pretty damning indictment of political and law enforcement leadership.
Well, I'm going to remove ICE out of the equation of what they might think, and I will give all the powers that be in the King County Sheriff's Office Administration credit or the benefit of the doubt that perhaps they don't know the importance of that database.
Okay, so this guy wasn't coming on to slam, you know, or defend ICE and slam the sheriffs. He said, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. But then I read to him what the undersheriff said when he told the personnel that they're withdrawing from the system.
Let me read to you one other line from the undersheriff, Scott Summers' email. We acknowledge, okay, and we acknowledge and understand the impact to many of you who use this resource as part of your work on a daily basis. So he said in the email, we know this is important to you. We know that it's going to impact you, your ability to do your job, and we are still pulling out of it.
I find that very unfortunate and sad to hear. One of the factors that you did identify is the whole officer safety issue and dealing with violent criminals. It's just not about doing your job on a day-to-day, the mundane things.
Sure.
I'm referring more about the, you know, high-impact, violent crime-type incidents. On the day-to-day stuff, auto theft, yeah, I get that, okay? But we're not really talking about that. We're talking about, you know, major violent crimes, serious felonies that have an immediate impact on the community. That's what everybody should be concerned with.
Okay. So, my view, Mitzi, and I'm not somebody who comes on the radio every other day saying so-and-so should resign. Mitzi Joe Hanknick, Dow Constantine should be gone today. They have decided to put illegals above the lives of citizens, above the lives of King County Sheriff's Office detectives and deputies. They have decided to prioritize illegals. And let me read you. Our show has exclusively obtained a letter that Mitzi Joe Hanknick sent to all the members of the King County Council. And she says, on a daily basis, King County Sheriff's Office members rely on links to search other agency records such as arrest and case reports for investigatory purposes. So she acknowledges this is a daily tool for her personnel. Then she says that they're getting out because of ICE. And then she says, unfortunately, this will negatively impact my agency's ability to access necessary information related to new and ongoing investigations and to support other important functions. So the sheriff is acknowledging that she is willing to put the safety of the public at risk. She's acknowledging that she's willing to put the safety of her personnel at risk. Lives on the line. There's a life and death job. Because of leftist politics, because of social justice warriors who have decided that federal law enforcement is the agency, or the enemy, I should say. And by going after the federal law enforcement, if we've got to sacrifice the lives of a few citizens, if we've got to sacrifice some of our King County Sheriff's Office deputies, so be it. We got a social justice cause here, and that's to go after ICE. This is as reckless as any story we have covered in my 24 years, prioritizing illegals over citizens and cops, which is exactly what they're doing. Dow Constantine is behind this. Mitzi Johanknik is on board. Scott Summers, the undersheriff, carried it out. Liz Rocha is Liz Rocha. That's all I got to say about her. But we're all at risk now because of illegals and because of this decision by the sheriff's office. This is what leftism brings us, where common sense is gone. It is completely gone. And Dow Constein, Mitzi Johanknik should resign today. But they won't, because they're all consorting with each other. They all feel like they have some noble purpose to pursue here. And this brings me to the next bit of insanity.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Yeah, I just finished one, too. Okay, so I'm watching all the newscasts last night, and I like all of our local TV stations, and our radio station's doing the same thing they did. But the story was, I'm reading the headlines about the Capital One hacker, this guy who stole the identity of 100 million people in the Capital One hack, accessed hundreds of thousands of Social Security numbers, and is now sitting in jail waiting for trial. Well, he is now seeking release from jail. Why? Because he says he's a woman. And his lawyer says it is unfair to have a woman in a men's jail with a bunch of men. And so I've started looking at all of these headlines. Q13, Seattle woman accused of huge Capital One breach seeks release from jail. King 5, Seattle woman. Same thing, suspecting huge Capital One breach. And our radio station, Cairo Radio, refers to this guy as a woman. And I don't understand this, and here's why. He said that he wants to go to a European country that has assisted suicide. So I think everybody says, this guy's kind of crazy. He was tweeting at President Trump, asking Trump to deport him. This guy's pretty crazy. He's breaching the security, allegedly, of 100 million people via the Capital One database. Oh, this guy's a criminal, too, allegedly. He says he's a woman. Oh, we got to take him at his word on that. I don't understand that. I don't understand a man who's sitting in a men's jail and that every news operation has decided we got to call him a woman. And we got to take him at his word on that, when everything else in his life, public life, is about, you know, kind of crazy lunatic fringe stuff and alleged criminality. Why? Because we're told that we gotta say whatever he says to say, and we're supposed to abide by it. And I don't know. Do you want to weigh in on this, Ursula? Because I get really frustrated with this one.
First of all, on Cairo Radio, because I did the story yesterday, we identified her name is Paige Thompson, and she's trans, and she identifies as a woman. That didn't just happen after she went into jail. She identified as a woman before.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are certain people on the station who are born.
He's in a men's jail.
Correct, because the FBI goes with the gender you're born with, not...
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that has not evolved to where we are today. But I know that there are people who are also asking, well, why wasn't it brought up? Why wasn't that, you know, in the lead? Why wasn't it, you know, more important in the story? The story is this person stole the identities of or got the personal information from more than 100 million people from a place where she was working.
Mm-hmm.
Now the story, the reason it is important and the reason it needs to be brought up, in the lead in the story is because the story now is about her and her attorney saying that because she identifies as a woman and has been living as a woman, mm-hmm. that she feels that she is Jill, because there are people, there are many people who don't accept that, and that that would be even more dangerous place for her. I mean, she should go into a prison where there's women.
You and I are going to use different pronouns on this. I get that. He has also said that he's not guilty.
That's standard.
Are we reporting that an innocent person is accused in the Capital One's breach? Because that's his opinion, is that he's not guilty.
But we're not treating it any differently from any other story. People are allowed their day in court.
So we're not reporting that he's innocent, even though he claims that he is. We're going to let the evidence decide whether he's guilty or innocent.
If he in court says, I'm not guilty, yes, we're going to say that he says he's not guilty, but the evidence
but
shows this.
Are we going to declare him innocent?
No, that's not our job. Our job is not to declare him innocent her innocent.
We're going to wait for the evidence.
Absolutely. That's which we do in every story.
Okay. So to me... The evidence for...
I don't even know why we are going there.
I'll tell you exactly why. Because to me, the evidence as to his gender is his genitalia and the fact that he's sitting in a men's prison.
I know,
to me, that's overwhelming evidence that this is a man. So why...
But as you know, we have evolved in that we understand that there are people just because
they're born... Oh, I haven't evolved. I'm still back in the caveman days, apparently.
Well, I think you are not accepting of what... You know, has changed. Just like for the longest time, people would not accept gay marriage. There's still people who don't accept gay marriage.
I accept it from people who are not criminals in the news. But if everything in their life is a lie, but this is the one thing we are to accept as truth. And again, it
happened. I think she was working as a trans person for Capital One.
Right.
Yeah, so that wasn't something that she just made up because now she's been arrested.
Okay, but we are going to let the evidence decide innocence and guilt, even though he has said, I'm innocent. But his opinion is two totally different things. You're trying to make it black and white, and it's just not. His opinion is more important than evidence of genitalia and what prison he's sitting in.
And again, I know you don't believe it, but I think that there is, you know, enough... I want to say evolution, but you know that we've learned a lot more about how people identify with themselves, and you don't accept it. I mean,
I do in many cases, but in this case where it's somebody who every part of their life is crazy and criminality allegedly,
but
I have a lot of trouble saying I'm going to let this person dictate. I'll let more evidentiary things dictate how I refer to him than his opinion, because nothing else he says
seems
to be sane or legal.
In this case, they can say, well, Paige Thompson, if she is in a jail with other men and because she's trans, that she could be in even more danger and then, you know, could get killed there, then they could move her to a different prison. I don't think they have a case to say she needs to just be let free. Hey.
No one's going to kill him. He can take care of himself. Okay. Aren't you glad?
Thanks for bringing me into this one.
I invited you into the conversation. Okay, that is your big lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Oh, man. I love you, Ursula.
And I love you.
Okay, look at that. See, I can get along with everybody. Almost. Okay, coming up next. Oh, man, the president, he had a lot to say before he left for Kentucky a couple of hours ago. It's making a lot of headlines, and you're going to hear a lot of it coming up next. You know, it's really fascinating to watch the symbiotic relationship between the president and the White House press corps. Because I'm telling you, every single day, it seems, Trump, when he's on his way to the helicopter, they'll take him to Air Force One. Every single time he stops and talks to the White House press corps, and for as much as he talks about fake news and how much he hates the media, and as much as that White House press corps clearly hates him, they sure do thrive on each other. And it is clear that Trump is the most transparent president in the history of this country, because there's nothing subliminal about him. Everything that pops into his head, he just says it. And the press loves that. They love it. They claim that they hate him. but they love the content that he provides. I'm honest about that. I've said I don't know who I'm going to vote for because I don't know what's going to happen between now and next November, a year from now. But do I love, from a talk show host content standpoint, do I love Donald Trump's our president? Absolutely I do. Because it provides very entertaining stuff. And I'm somebody who, I don't get furious at the goofiness. I love it. I love it. I'll admit that. I find it entertaining. Because our economy is pretty good. Unemployment's at a 50-year low. Wage growth is at a multi-decade high. We're still safe. Okay, so I don't have any huge complaints. But this was real interesting because he talked about buying Greenland last week. He confirmed a few days ago, again, to the same press corps on the South Lawn. He said, yeah, that he's thinking about buying Greenland. But then he canceled a planned trip to Denmark because the Danish prime minister was...
It was nasty. I thought it was an inappropriate statement. All she had to do is say, no, we wouldn't be interested, but we can't treat the United States of America the way they treated us under President Obama. I thought it was a very not nice way of saying something. They could have told me no.
Okay, so he said that it was, when she said it was an absurd idea buying Greenland, that ticked him off. So he said, you don't talk to the United States that way. And then he separately, he went off on Peter Alexander from NBC News. Now, I will tell you on a personal level, I used to go into Q13 and record a show every Friday night with them there when Peter Alexander was a reporter at Q13. And he and I just hit it off. He loved this show. I thought he was a terrific reporter. He's now a huge network star. But I've always personally liked Peter Alexander. But, oh, Donald Trump didn't seem to.
This guy is the most biased reporter, NBC. You know, I made a lot of money for NBC with The Apprentice, and I used to like him, but they are the most biased. Peter is such a bias. You should be able to ask a question, same question, in a better way. You are so obviously biased, and that's why the public has no confidence in the media.
Okay, but that was what I was talking about at the beginning. They seem to hate him, and the bias is undeniable. It was interesting. A couple of days ago, I said Trump has gotten, you know, the worst press coverage by, you know, a magnitude of, I don't know what. I think I said 1,000. Okay, that's hyperbole. But he's gotten the worst press coverage by far of any president in history. And I had some people say, oh, you remember how they treated Obama? Are you crazy? The press fawned over Barack Obama. Fawned over him. And to suggest, if anybody who suggests, you want to find out if somebody is totally gone politically and intellectually, anybody who tries to argue that Obama got equally ugly press, and I'm talking about from the major networks, cable and broadcast, anybody suggesting that it was anywhere near the level of vitriol that Trump gets, you know you are dealing with a moron. So, but he still, every day, he doesn't have to do this. He doesn't have to stop and talk to them. He loves it. And he loves calling them fake news to their face. And they love getting his sound bites. And they love being called fake news. They can then go on the set with the anchor and talk about how the president ripped us. How unfair that is. Another one that the president talked about a couple of days ago. He said, any Jew who votes for a Democrat is being disloyal because he says he's the greatest president ever for the Jewish people.
They want to do a lot of bad things to Israel. In my opinion, you vote for a Democrat, you're being very disloyal to Jewish people, and you're being very disloyal to Israel. And only weak people would say anything other than that.
Okay. That's one that, you know, they're already jumping on. I'm seeing the headlines all around the web for that one. But here is the one that is getting the most attention. Because the president, he was talking about China trade. And I will tell you, he is absolutely right about China trade. The fact that presidents for the last 20 years have let China walk all over the United States and that we are losing $500 billion to China. Somebody had to do something about that. And by the way, this isn't just me saying this. John King on CNN, right after the president spoke today, John King said he's absolutely right. Clinton and Bush and Obama, they didn't do anything about this China problem. But it needs to be done. But then the way Trump said it is what's getting all of the attention today, because he dared say this.
The fake news, of which many of you are members, is trying to convince the public to have a recession. Let's have a recession. The United States is doing phenomenally well.
And by the way, that's absolutely true, too. You know, it was Russia for a long time, and Russia turned out to be a complete bust. Then it was racism. White supremacy. Remember that? That was just like a week ago. But for about 3 weeks, every single news story was about white supremacy and racism and the president's a racist. And then they figured out, this isn't working. Russia didn't work. Racism didn't work. I know, the third R, recession. And so that's been every story the last 3 days. The networks have colluded with the Democrats and said, let's just hammer recession. Let's scare everybody. Let's tell them the country's going to go down the toilet. Tell you what, I got to play the rest of the sound bit for you. Let me take a quick time out and then I'll play the rest of it for you, because we haven't even gotten to the juicy part yet as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. The Online Trading Academy text line is on fire this afternoon. I'm reading all of them. People talking about I don't want to get bogged down on something we did a half hour ago. But the transgender thing, I've said that I will accept somebody's chosen gender unless it's a guy who committed a bunch of crimes who's sitting in a men's jail. And the reason this story is in the news today is because his attorney said, we want to move her out of the men's prison. It's unfair to her. And I'm not going to speak a lie to you. If some law-abiding person, if they want to call themselves a different gender, I don't care. I couldn't care less. I'm happy to oblige. But when they're in the news saying, oh, it's going to be too dangerous to have her in a men's prison. Yeah, so you're going to put somebody with male genitalia in the women's jail? Doesn't that make all the women there at risk? So, yes, this is a specific to this story. I'm not going to misgender people who aren't in the news, because I don't care. Okay, back to the Trump thing now. So, but anyway, tons of comments about that. Tons of comments about the president, and I might have to comment on some of those in the fastest 15. But a lot of people talk about what an idiot the president is. Come on, do you know? I have a pretty high opinion of myself, and I think I'm a reasonably smart person. And I was thinking all the things that a president of the United States. Barack Obama, who I disagreed with, is a incredibly bright person. George W. Bush, who was ridiculed as a moron by the leftist press, in fact, I remember Penn Jillette, Penn and Teller, who's also like a Mensa Society guy. He was in the studio with me during the George W. Bush Al Gore campaign. And I said, do you think Bush is a bright person? Because I did not. And Penn Jillette said, yeah, we could never do the job that these guys do. And Penn Jillette's a genius. And he says, no, these people, their management skills and their capabilities. So, you know, anybody who calls any president a moron is automatically disqualified. Obama wasn't, George W. Bush wasn't, Bill Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar, and Donald Trump's a very bright person who has and it's not just intelligence, not just IQ, it's management skills. To be able to juggle the 50 billion things that a president has to, there aren't too many people who can do that. Okay, back to his comments today.
But one thing I have to do is economically take on China, because China has been ripping us off for many years. President Clinton, President Bush, and President Obama and others should have done this long before me.
Okay, and that is, John King of CNN went on the air after this a couple hours ago and said he's absolutely right about that. And John King's a left-center guy. But everyone has to acknowledge the truth of that, that letting China run roughshod over the United States isn't good for the United States.
My life would be much easier, although I enjoy doing it, but my life would be much easier if I just said, let China continue to rip off the United States, all right? It'd be much easier, but I can't do that. We are winning against China. They've lost 2.5 million jobs in a very short period of time. They want to make a deal. It's got to be a deal that's good for the United States. Where they want to make a deal, probably we will make a deal. But if I didn't do that, and I'm not doing it, somebody said it's Trump's trade war. This isn't my trade war. This is a trade war that should have taken place a long time ago by a lot of other presidents. Over the last 5 or 6 years, China's made $500 billion. $500 billion. Ripped it out of the United States. And not only that, if you take a look, intellectual property theft. Add that to it. And add a lot of other things to it. So somebody, excuse me, somebody had to do it. I am the chosen one. Somebody had to do it.
Okay, that's the line right there. Now, did you listen to the minute 25 leading up to that? Because that's all valid stuff. Somebody has to stand up to China. Somebody has to end the U.S. getting ripped off. But then what he did was he lifted his hands, palms up, and looked to the heavens and said, I am the chosen one. And that is the only line that's being quoted in headlines. And he's clearly goofing off there. But if you listen to the minute and a half leading up to that, remember a few days ago I had the sound bites from MSNBC that he has early onset Alzheimer's. That's not somebody with any dementia issues who said what he said about China in that minute and a half. But because he said, I am the chosen one, in what was clearly a joking way. But if you don't see it and don't see the context, then he is just getting hammered for that one line.
Add that to it and add a lot of other things to it. So somebody, excuse me, somebody had to do it. I am the chosen one. Somebody had to do it.
Okay, that's what the fake news will seize on right there. Fast 15 is next.